Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Wednesday, May 13th. I'm Ray Graff. May is Older Americans Month, and today we welcome back Greg Olson, Acting Director of the New York State Office for the Aging. We'll talk about a range of issues affecting older adults, including social isolation, resources available to help older adults in addressing a range of needs. We'll also talk about New York State's Master Plan for Aging, which is a kind of a roadmap to help ensure older adults and individuals of all ages can live healthy, fulfilling lives while aging with dignity and independence. You want to join the conversation? Love to have you. 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. You can also email us at voxpop@wamc.org. But again, the number is 800-348-2551. Greg Olson, your calls coming up after the news. Hello again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. May is Older Americans Month. And as an older American, I welcome you to the show. Our guest today is Greg Olson, Acting Director of the New York State Office for the Aging. Greg oversees the agency's day-to-day operations and the administration of federal and state-funded programs that are designed to assist the more than 5 million older adult residents of the state, as well as programs that assist family members and others involved with helping older adults deal with a range of issues, including social isolation, caregiving, nutrition, economic security, and others. We'll also talk about New York State's Master Plan for Aging today. If you have a question and you want to jump in with a comment, 800-348-2551 is the number, 1-800-348-2551. You can also email us at voxpop@wamc.org. Greg Olson, welcome back, buddy. How are you?
Thanks so much, Ray. It's great to be with you, and thanks for having me again.
How are things?
Things are great.
Yeah? How'd that budget work out for you? It's still up in the air, huh?
Still up in the air, probably another week or two to go.
Where are we now? Are you seeing any signs? Are you reading the tea leaves? How are we standing for older adults?
Well, the I think you have to go back to what the governor has proposed. So for folks that are, new to aging anyway, the governor took office in August of 2021. And since she took office, she's invested over $230 million in our agency to help people all across the state eat, get transportation to doctors and so many other different things. So, as we talked about before, Ray, there's a lot of agencies that all of us touch, whether you're younger or older. So I look at the budget from a lens of not just the New York State Office for Aging, but all the various agencies that older adults touch, whether that be Veterans Services, Office of Temporary and Disability Assistance with Adult Protective Services, benefits that are in Office of Children and Families, Tax and Finance, transportation, housing, et cetera. And there's a lot of really good things in here that often don't get talked about. But that's why I'm glad to be here.
Can you give me some examples of what might or might not be in the budget?
Maybe
this week, maybe next week.
Absolutely. And I think, one of the things we're going to talk about is the MPA. So and that's called the Master Plan for Aging. There are recommendations that were put in the Master Plan for Aging, which was released in June of 25, right. So a little less than a year ago, that are actually in the governor's State of the State. So I'll talk about three of them because we're already working on them. Because they're in the State of the State, we can get started on those immediately, and we have. So number one, we have a program that really started in 1995 called the Naturally Occurring Retirement Community. And these were mostly in New York City. And what that basically means, Ray, is you and I move into a community or a housing development when we're in our 20s and we're still living there 40, 50 years later. So it's not senior housing, but we've aged into these places. So we actually have one right here in Albany. It goes from St. Peter's all the way down Whitehall Road. That's a neighborhood naturally occurring. We have one in Chautauqua County, which is really rural, Rochester, and then a whole bunch of them in New York City. So the governor proposed to double the funding so we can grow 20 more. And what that really does, it's a model way ahead of its time. It brings the types of services that we provide through our office and the county offices for the aging, like case management, personal care, combating social isolation, nutrition, with health services so that you're treating people holistically to help them remain in their community longer. By doing that and providing the resources for communities kind of to organize themselves to help one another, that takes pressure off of our county offices for the aging, who have a high demand for services.
All right, so I understand what we're talking about here with these naturally occurring retirement communities, and you said there's one on Whitehall over by St. Pete's. These are privately owned buildings, right?
It could be buildings, it could be houses, or if you think of like an urban area, it could be a small census tract with four high-rises. And the one in Chautauqua's amazing because if anybody knows the state of New York, I am literally talking about the Pennsylvania-New York border,
yeah,
south of Jamestown.
Way out there.
And they organized a rural one. And again, what it does is it brings services to people both on the health side and the social side.
But it's not a financial incentive for older folks to move in.
No.
Is it rent stabilized? Are we talking about all different apartments and all different buildings?
It's if somebody applies for one of these grants, they determine what their area is that they're going to cover. So if you're talking about from Delaware down Whitehall to St. Peter's, all of those homes, like my example earlier, Ray, maybe you and I moved in the 1970s,
right,
and we're still in those homes today. It's not senior housing. It's not subsidized housing. It's not rent. These are regular residential properties and or apartments, specifically not senior housing.
All right, so who's applying for this?
So not-for-profits all over the state can apply. And in 2005, when I was in the legislature, we created what's called a neighborhood naturally occurring retirement community. So we have a NORC and a neighborhood NORC, and that's the Albany model. So, you know, to be able to seed 20 more of these, we'll have seven in rural communities, we'll have seven in suburban communities, and then we'll have probably six or seven in urban communities. So a not-for-profit applies. They have to meet certain criteria, the types of services they're going to provide, making sure they have a nurse or a nurse practitioner, the staff necessary. We will provide them the funding, and then they organize with the residents of that census tract or, you know, that neighborhood, the services that they want to provide.
And where would they be, though? Where would the nurse be? Not on site in one of the apartments, right?
No, unless they had like a satellite. So let's say, so the sponsor here in Albany is JASA. And so they have an office building off of Whitehall Road. So that's where the staff would be. Mm-hmm. And then they go out within the neighborhood and work with the staff there. In a high rise in New York City, they would have office space actually within the high rise.
That's such an interesting model.
It's way ahead of its time. And we've been working with other countries like Canada and other states to show them. Like I said, this began in 1995 with Shelley Silver, actually. And then we expanded it. It's been very, very popular. It costs very, very little money for the amount that the older adult gets.
Now, it will cost some money. And so do you have any idea of how much will be in this budget for this?
Yes. So the governor proposed $8 million for us to grow the program. So we'll be, you know, once that budget's passed, we're already working on the RFP. And as I mentioned earlier, that was a recommendation in the MPA. Another one that I'm really excited about, and you and I were talking earlier, financial fraud and scams against older adults. So online scams, based on the Consumer Federation of America report that just came out, online scams cost people of all ages $119 billion a year. We obviously focus on older adults. Most of that traffic is targeted towards older adults. So what the governor has charged me and my agency with doing is developing training modules for older adults themselves, for anybody that comes into contact with them, family, service providers. We're also doing a training for law enforcement and for frontline workers in financial institutions who can recognize a possible scam if they see it. We have already done the training modules. We have two left to go. And then we will work with lots of different partners in New York State to get the word out, to do a campaign, to really alert people that, look, While scammers are very sophisticated, stopping scams before they happen is very, very easy. And it's a lot easier to stop a scam than it is to deal with the aftermath. And I want you to ask me sometime later in the show,
yes,
two tools that we've already tested and vetted that will do exactly that. They
Say,
will
Greg,
prevent it.
What two tools have you tested and vetted?
That is a great question,
Thank you.
Ray.
That's what
you
I
know,
do.
You're amazing.
Fine. Thank you.
So two of them, one's called Eversafe. And that was designed by a good friend of mine named Liz Lowy. She used to work in the Manhattan District Attorney's Office prosecuting financial fraud cases.
You were a prosecutor?
I wasn't. Liz Lowy was.
Wow, okay.
And her partner, whose mother was scammed out of $180,000 over 14 months. And they created Eversafe, which is a very affordable tool for identity theft, deed theft, banking patterns, a whole bunch of different things. And so we've been testing that in New York for the last 2.5 years. Like I said, I wish I could subsidize everything for everybody. I can't, but this is an affordable, tested, vetted solution that we've already been using. The second one we launched about 2 months ago is called Silver Shield.
Silver Shield.
This is about the cost of a cup of coffee per month. $40 a year to protect yourself. And most of the scams that folks are getting are through email and text. I get it all the time.
Oh,
didn't
yeah.
pay your throughway bill, right? There's a package at the United Parcel Service. All you have to do is forward the text or the email message to Silver Shield, and its analytics will determine if it's a scam or not. It will tell you what to do, what not to do, and you can share it through your social media to let your friends and others in your community, whether it be next door, know that this is a scam.
So Silver Shield is a commercial entity?
Both of these are commercial entities.
And they're pairing with the state on this?
Yes. I have provided licenses to test and demo these. So for Silver Shield, which we launched 2 months ago, we've already stopped over 700 scams worth over $60,000.
You know, I had a New York State trooper. He was an inspector, is an inspector on just this topic several months ago, Kurt Strasburger. And you know, I said to him right before a break, you know, I get all these same texts you get, you know, Easy Pass or whatever, and it's hokey. And it says on my phone, delete and report as spam. And I said, who's it going to? And he said, well, I'm not really sure.
Right.
And so Silver Shield is a place that can take action on this?
Yes. So again, I get the throughway toll one. I know it's a scam, but if I forward it to them, it's going to give me a red. So it'll be green, not a scam, yellow, could be a scam. Here's what to do. Here's what you don't do. And guess what you don't do, listeners? You never click the link ever, ever, ever,
yeah.
ever. And then red, it's absolutely a scam. It will forward it on to the FBI so that they know it's a scam.
Yeah.
And then if you have Nextdoor, which we do in our community, Facebook, TikTok, any of your social media, you can share it with the people who are close to you so that they know it's a scam.
Interesting. All right, let's take a quick break here. Greg Olson is here from the New York State Office for the Aging. It's 800-348-2551. We've only just begun. We'll be back. Here's my buddy Chuck DeLoya and Art Bernstein on, they call themselves ABCD and did a bunch of albums. And I tell you what, they're so good. 800-348-2551 is the number. And Greg Olson is our guest today, acting director of the New York State Office for the Aging. If you have a question about some of the services the New York State Office for the Aging provides, or if you are in another state and you want to talk about issues that are universal affecting older adults, please give us a shout, 800-348-2551. You can email voxpop@wamc.org. We're talking a little bit about the budget, which is not fully settled at this time, but I know you've done some work with the governor and the governor's office on auto insurance rates. Why is that a priority for you guys?
Well, it's a huge priority. I'm glad you asked that question because, you know, for older adults, having a car and being able to drive is not a luxury. It's a necessity. You cannot get to doctor's appointments. You can't get to work. You can't get to your volunteer experiences. Then for our network, we use a lot of volunteers and their own cars to deliver meals, to provide rides to doctors and pharmacists and polling places and things like that. Then you have our 59 county offices for the aging that all have transportation programs. And so they're paying high costs. And then we work with over 1,400 not-for-profits. The state has over 33,500 not-for-profits that also have their own transportation program. So we're really look at it through four lenses. We pay $1,500 more than the national averages. The number of increases in staged accidents here and the costs that have gone up 80% in the last decade, these are what the governor's proposed, and I'm 100% behind this, is, not allowing bad actors to reap rewards. And what do I mean by that? And there's going to be people that say, you know, if somebody gets hurt in a car or an injury that they deserve compensation, they will always get that. It's people who, let's say I'm driving drunk and I run into you, Ray, and then I turn around and sue you, or I don't have a license, or I don't have insurance. I'm allowed right now to sue you for pain and suffering. So it's really trying to update these outdated laws that really, including staged accidents, which really reward people with bad behavior while still protecting those that, you know, through no fault of their own.
But how do you, well, this is not really a question for you, but how do you do that and still protect the rights of victims? And the trial lawyers, they're not all on board with this.
No, they're not. And, you know, they are clearly the big opposition. And I think, the details are going to come out. I know this was one of the three or four big budget items that, you know, the governor has announced there was an agreement on. So we're all looking forward to, you know, what the texts look like and what the but it's, you know, redefining what real pain and suffering is. And then again, if people are, you're going to know if somebody is DWI, you're going to know if somebody has no insurance or no license and has caused an accident, they shouldn't be allowed to turn around and sue the person who is the victim and win $1 million compensations. It's such common sense.
Our guest today is Greg Olson, acting director of the New York State Office for the Aging. The number here is 800-348-2551. Email is voxpop@wamc.org. Budget aside, it's been over a year now, or maybe about a year, since the master plan for aging sort of started to bloom and take flower. Give us an update on a progress report, if you will, on where you guys are going and where you are now.
Yeah, so to your point, the report that we delivered to the governor, she released in June of 25. That was after almost 20 months of, working with the health department, Department of State, other agencies. I mean, it was literally, Ray, like herding cats, let me tell you. We had
but not the fake cats that you brought
no,
in.
No, not okay. The animatronic ones.
Right.
We engaged over 430 stakeholders, had 20 public listening sessions, had over 800 meetings, had a council of state agencies, a stakeholder advisory group, 8 subcommittees, 34 work groups, 10 industry roundtables. I could go on and on. What the goal and what the governor charged us with, that being the health department, us, and the Department of State, was to organize recommendations from the people to the government. And what that means, and it's really important, is it wasn't my job, my office's job, the health department, to write the recommendations, to edit them, to strike some that came in. Our job was to organize it. And I think, you know, as I travel around the state, I do a lot of public speaking. And the number one, question I get is, what's happening with the MPA? Nothing's happening with the MPA. And I say that is not true. And one of the things we need to do a better job as collectively as government is doing exactly what I'm doing with you today. I have a litany of recommendations that are in there that I am personally interested in because I work with older adults that we're working on or have been done already.
Well, this is great. And, you come on once a year and this is of benefit to so many of our listeners and frankly to me, too. And soon enough, you, too.
I am 2 years away from being able to access my own services.
Jeepers. How about that?
Right.
Is that a conflict of interest?
I don't know.
We'll find out.
Know.
All right. So give us an update.
Number one recommendation was recommendation 50, which was to invest in the New York State Office for Aging. As I mentioned at the opening, since the governor took office, over $238 million in new money. Largest investment in New York State Office for Aging history was last year. So that was done. Supporting caregivers. We talked a little bit about caregivers earlier. We have 4.1 million people who are taking care of somebody else. Many of them are older, but not all of them. We cover all of them.
When you say cover, what do you mean?
We provide services to a caregiver regardless of age and regardless of who they're caring for.
Okay.
And we have some free things. So I know later in the show you're going to say, hey, Greg, give us the 4 free things that any New Yorker can access.
Hang on, let me write this down.
All right.
Keep going.
I'm
going
to give you 2 of them that support caregivers. So we have a lot of assets out there for caregivers. Food is medicine promotion. We know that food is medicine. There's a whole work group as part of a multi-agency effort to combat hunger and malnutrition in New York, promoting food as medicine, creating an Office of Older Workers. We did that with the Department of Labor administratively about a year and a half ago. So now the Department of Labor, because they have the 60 one-stop shops and we work very closely with them, created their own bureau and division on older workers.
And what do they do?
Well, what they do is they have the 61 shops across the state. They work with community colleges. They work with local businesses.
What are 61 shops?
The one-stop shop where you can go help with your resume, get connected to local. I'm sorry.
They're not providing employment.
No, they're helping facilitate employment locally. So that's really, really helpful. Creating greater access to transportation. We have a very unique transportation project in New York called Go-Go Grandparent, which is now in 36 counties, and it's a specialized rideshare program that trains the drivers in the unique needs that older adults have. Strengthening access to hospice and palliative care. We are the worst in the country, 50 out of 50 states, in access to hospice and palliative care. The health department launched a new Bureau of Hospice and Palliative Care to increase that access.
Can I stop you there?
Of course.
Why is New York currently 50th? Is it a governmental problem? Or is it a private industry or insurance problem? Explain to us why that is.
I think it's an educational problem. So every insurance covers hospice and palliative care. Mainstream insurance, Medicare, Medicaid. And what we've done is we have partnered with the Hospice and Palliative Care Association. That's a statewide entity, as well as many of our area agencies on aging and their local partners, so that our folks know, hey, this benefit is available to people who are at the end of their life.
Right.
And that's really important because the service extends beyond when, unfortunately, your family member dies. There's grief counseling and all of those things. So it's such an important service. I just think it's education, combating social isolation. One of the things that was also in the state of the state that was a recommendation that the governor has charged me and my agency with is creating, providing a report to them on all the benefits and all the agencies that older adults might be eligible for. So as I mentioned, in Office of Temporary and Disability Assistance, they oversee the HEAP program and the SNAP program. In Division of Veteran Services, they oversee over 100 federal, state, and local benefits for veterans. Well, over 70% of the state's veterans, 440,000 are over 60. So we're going to be going through and working with every single agency to identify what types of benefits older adults are eligible for so we can put money back in their pockets.
And this will help the, not the patients, but the clients. This, in which way?
Well,
in what way?
I mean, it'll help in a lot of different ways. So if you're coming to a professional, somebody like me, a social worker, so our recommendation will be to the governor and to ITS by December that these are all the things that are available and they can decide, you know, what they're going to do. They got to build something. But if I'm a case manager working with somebody and I say I know that they have $2,300 in income, that I know immediately they're eligible for SNAP, the Medicare Savings Program,
right,
which will put $7,000 in their pockets, and HEAP. So if we're able to do that across agencies, not only for the public, for me doing my own research, but also for anybody that's working with an older adult in their family, you just go one place because there's no way you can go to 47 different agencies and authorities and know exactly what they're doing.
This is a great point. Our guest today is Greg Olson, Acting Director of the New York State Office for the Aging, and we will get to the phones momentarily. In a perfect world, and money notwithstanding, how much more budget do you need to do what you want to do?
Well, we are seeing
getting in trouble with the governor or anybody, but how short are you, and how much would you really like to have?
Yeah, I mean it's a great question. We look at first and foremost what's the waiting list for services. So last year, around this time, it was about 16,000 services. It's around 74,000 now. And this isn't anything that the governor's office, the legislature, the public doesn't know. I think we're dealing with a bunch of different issues. HR 1, the impact of these huge Medicaid cuts, the hole that blew in the state budget that the governor and DOB are trying to fill. And it sounds like they're pretty close with a 200 whatever billion dollar budget. So again, there isn't an agency head anywhere that say they couldn't do more with more money.
That's diplomatic, man.
I will tell you this. We can keep a nursing home eligible person at home in their home and community for 5 to 7 years at 1/17th the cost of nursing homes, at 1/8 the cost of Medicaid home care. And then we provide all of these other wraparound services. So,
So when you go ask for money, you say, here's the benefit and here is how the state actually saves by putting money in.
That's correct. We do the return on investment. I can feed an older adult for a year for $1,900 a year. So I think it's a combination of a bunch of things. There are a lot of benefits that older adults are eligible for that they don't apply to, for whatever reason. Some of it's stigma, some of it's maybe not knowing. You know, energy costs right now are huge. Only 50% of people eligible for the Empower program actually use it. That's why this benefits thing is going to be so important.
All right, well, right now, and that's great, because I've been looking at my heating and electric bill go up and up and up and up. How do people find out about that program?
So that's something that we put out all the time. We have a list of all of these, not only proposals, but what already exists. And we do that through our newsletter, through social media. Like I said, I probably speak publicly 2 to 3 times a week.
Really?
So do the rest of the folks that I work with. And I think that there's other agencies like NYSERDA, et cetera, that are also doing that. I think we can do a much better job in not only identifying, which is what this State of the State recommendation wants me to do, but also get destigmatizing it that, hey, these are what your tax dollars paid for in a time of need, and this is the time of need.
You know what? I could talk straight on through the whole hour, but people are on the phone, so let's go to the phones. Greg Olson is acting director of the New York State Office for the Aging, and let's hit it. 800-348-2551. We'll start in Latham. Martha, you're on. Marcia, I'm sorry.
Hi. Ray. Hi, Greg.
Hi, Marcia.
I wonder if anyone's addressing what's going on with independent living facilities being bought up by private equity firms and venture.
Oh, did we lose
and
you?
And raising the rents incredibly high, $600-$800 a month. I wonder if there's anything out there that's going to monitor this and do something about limiting these huge hikes that they're doing when they buy these residences.
They can be expensive.
Yeah, and Marcia, thanks for the question. I don't want to speak out of turn because that is something that is not within my portfolio. That's the health department. But I can answer you this way, is that everybody is aware, whether it be, hospice was another one. There's some things where profit making or home equity with venture capitalists buying up things like, nursing facilities, et cetera, has not always had a good impact on people's care within those facilities. So you raise a really good point. What our role is we oversee the state's long-term care ombudsman program. And what we do is we send very highly trained and certified staff and volunteers into these facilities to assure that the clients and patients that are there, I don't like to call them patients, these are people, and these are our loved ones, are receiving the care that they deserve. And when there's a health and safety issue, we report that directly to the health department that go out and do inspections. But I could tell you just from being around Albany that members of the legislature, governor's office, health department, et cetera, understands the issue that you're raising.
All right, Marcia, thanks a lot for the call. It's 800-348-2551. Greg Olson is acting director of New York State Office for the Aging. And let's go to Brattleboro, Vermont. Joyce, you're on.
Hi. I have heard from numerous people that have low vision that they're having trouble with telephone systems because if you try to contact government or private entities, the telephone digital system says, press this number to get to this particular department, even like libraries. And a lot of people have low vision and they can't see the numbers. So that it really should say, press or say some particular number or department.
You're absolutely right, Joyce. And, the systems that we use, they all do that. And they all do that in over 80 different languages. What I have seen, which I'm really thrilled with, because being low vision and low hearing definitely affects people's ability to stay active and engaged. And when you're not active and engaged, you have a higher risk of dementia, you have a higher risk of social isolation and loneliness, et cetera, et cetera. There are definitely a couple of companies that have phones with fairly large screens on them that actually decipher what people are saying. You can also get phones that will read the message back to you. But you are absolutely correct. If you don't have vision and you're not getting those prompts where you're able to see them, that doesn't do anybody any good.
So Joyce is in Vermont, but in New York State, you guys have this covered pretty well.
Yeah, because there's a it's basically covered by Medicare that they're offering these phones for free for low vision individuals.
Okay, Joyce, thanks a lot for the call. 800-348-2551. That's the number. Our guest today is Greg Olson, acting director for the New York State Office for the Aging. We'll be back. Group, it's a duo, ABCD. Art Bernstein, Chuck DeLoya here on Vox Pop. Ray Graff with you. It's today is the day we do at least once a year. We welcome Greg Olson, acting director of the New York State Office for the Aging. It's such an important issue. We like to get him on here at least once a year. Before we get to the emails, what are you trying to show me? Something bad or something good?
Something spectacular.
Oh, yeah? Look at that. Oh, look, you got a picture of me. Boy, I am a troll. Oh, don't do that. Don't post that. So before we get back to the, boy, I'm a little taken aback by my visage. You know, we talk about nonprofits and you guys working with various nonprofits. What about churches? What about houses of worship? Are you guys in league with them? They often provide, in the olden times, a lot of charitable services were done by churches.
No question. So we work with currently 1,242 not-for-profits. Many of them are faith communities. Like I mentioned, we talked about the NORCs. Many of those are sponsored by the Jewish Federation. Yeah. Right here in Albany, we work with Catholic Charities, who does a lot of caregiving and respite. But the governor's office has a governor's office focusing on faith initiatives. And we've done a lot of work with them because what's interesting, if you look at the census now of whoever your worship site is, it's mostly older. And what the leaders of those faith entities were describing were lots of their parishioners were caregivers and they didn't know what to do. Huh. So they brought us in. And so the answer is yes. And Ray, when I talked about, you know, the demand for services, our agency, I don't care who we work with, where we work with them, when we work. There's so much work that needs to go around.
Yeah.
Any asset or partnership that we can leverage to help an older adult and their family member, that is our number one priority, and that's it.
You know, when you started doing this show, it was about 4.5 million older adults in the state. Now we're over 5, you tell me. And so this problem is only going to get bigger for a time.
Well, I don't think, growing older is the problem. I think how we've organized our caring economy.
Oh, no, I didn't mean to say that.
I know you didn't, but this is one of my favorite talking points for your listeners.
All right.
So because many of them are going to be older too, right?
Yeah.
Growing older is not the problem. How we've organized the caring economy since 1965 is. We focus a lot of the money, 97% on hospitals and health systems and long-term care and home care, where you have a system like what we have, which there's no cost to the older adult, but we're the pre-Medicaid side of the system. We can intervene earlier in a person's home or community if and when they need it so that they can maintain that independence and don't wind up in the emergency room, a hospital, or in rehab. And then more importantly, if you do wind up in one of those settings, in order to successfully go back to your community, you need the kinds of services that we provide. So I see, and I can see from the governor's priority for our agency, it's taking time, but I'm seeing a movement. I've been doing this work for 35 years, and I'm starting to see the recognition of the value of community-based services. And so that's the direction we need to go. And based on, again, what the governor's done for us, the rest of the state-of-the-state proposals and budget proposals, we are moving in the right direction. And, of course, we have the MPA.
We're joined by Greg Olson, acting director of the New York State Office for the Aging. 800-348-2551. We'll get to back to the phones in a moment. A couple emails here real quick. George writes in from Albany. We're retired, having difficulty getting appointments with neurologists. Long, long wait times. Some outfits charge cash up front for a first consultation. Is this a general problem in New York? If so, what can be done?
Yeah, that's a great question, and it's not just neurologists. There is a shortage of specialists. throughout the state. We have the same issue in upstate with getting individuals in to see like a counselor or a therapist if they have a mental health issue. I think that, again, many of the recommendations in the MPA were around workforce, geriatrics and others. And I think what we're going to have to wait and see is, does the problem that you're describing get better or get worse? If you're taking $1 trillion out of Medicaid over 10 years, which is what HR 1 did, that's what everybody calls the big, beautiful bill, that's going to have an impact. It's not just rural hospitals. It's all the staff that are paid for by Medicaid, doctors, nurses, specialists, therapists, et cetera. But the recommendations in the MPA are really to invest in workforce, and there are a lot of recommendations. Certainly the governor's aware of that.
Our number is 800-348-2551. One more email here, and then we'll jump to the phones again. Cheryl writes in, and I think Cheryl missed the first 10 minutes of the show, but maybe we'll just do a quick recapitulation of your answer. Cheryl writes, I'm wondering if New York State is able to do anything to protect seniors from fraud and scam attempts. As I'm aging, I notice an increased volume of these attempts, and I feel like I'm savvy enough to handle it, but I know there are a lot of others in my situation who are not. Educating seniors is one thing, but isn't there something that could be done to stop this on websites or something? We talked about this at length, but just give us a minute on that.
Yeah, so there's a couple. It's a great question, and we did cover a little bit of this. There's a lot of bills, especially with AI coming out, on really holding platforms, et cetera, accountable. What we're doing is, in addition to the education, outreach, social media, and other types of ways to get the message out to your point, we have over 30 public-private partnerships with tech companies doing a whole bunch of different things. Two of them in particular, I can vouch to all of your listeners, regardless of whether you're older or not, that you can trust. One is called Silver Shield. And if you go to our website, it's aging.ny.gov, aging.ny.gov. You'll get more information about Silver Shield and Eversafe. What Silver Shield does is allows you, if you get an email that looks suspicious or you just don't know, or a text message, to forward it on to Silver Shield, and it will alert you green, yellow, red, right, whether it's a scam or not, what to do, what not to do, to make it really, really easy, because scammers are sophisticated, but how you stop them is really, really easy. Eversafe is kind of like a LifeLock, and I have LifeLock, and thank God I have it, because I've stopped 6 people from taking out a credit card in my name over the last 11 months.
Did you catch my attempt?
I did, but I thought I'd keep that off the record.
All right, we'll talk about it later.
The other is Eversafe, and that one's a little bit more robust. That can, for your deed or your home equity, identity, as well as your bank accounts, dark web, et cetera.
Yeah.
So those are things to, I forget the caller's name that asked that.
It was an email, Cheryl.
Cheryl, yeah. That great question. Those are the things that we're working on, Cheryl, because the Consumer Federation of America has said that online scam, just online, cost consumers $119 billion a year. And we know that many of those are targeted towards older people. So I think it's a combination of utilizing these tools. I can vouch for them because we vetted them, we've measured them, they're trusted, and then the education component need to happen at the same time.
Our guest is Greg Olson, Acting Director of the New York State Office for the Aging. Let's go to New York City. Sarah, you're on.
Hi, thank you.
You bet.
Okay, so hi, Greg.
Hi.
I am a retired healthcare executive, retired a few years ago, and I'm a seamstress, and my mother was a seamstress, and I started this nonprofit about a year ago to help Latino women, with different things. But I'm trying to create a program to combat social isolation, and it's a sewing club that I'm trying to create.
That's great.
I have all the paperwork. I have everything put together. I just don't know, where do I go for funding? It's going to be a small program that hopefully will grow, but I'm looking to get women who have, I guess, retired, children who move away, et cetera, and they're by themselves, and I want them to get them back into sewing in groups of people. So I'll need to look for, community spaces and supplies, things like that. So I'm looking to see where can I start with obtaining funding.
Well, Sarah, thank you for what you're doing. First and foremost, I think that's amazing. Do you have a pen handy?
I do.
Okay. Write down this email address. It's mine. It's Greg, Greg.Olsen, at aging.ny.gov, and then I will give you a call.
Wow.
What that also does, because of the social isolation, Sarah, it sounds like you have a skill. So mm-hmm. there's two free things that we offer to any older adult in New York State free of charge. One is called a virtual mm-hmm. senior center. And if you're from the city, you probably know Self-Help Community Services. We partnered with them and we offer the virtual senior center free for anybody across the state. You could actually be teaching on that platform other people that could be, you know, you could do something hybrid where you're doing it online, also yeah. in person. That is free for anybody in the state of New York. The second one is called Get Set Up. And that has over 6,000 lifelong learning classes, courses, health and wellness, etc. You can also apply yourself to teach your skill on that platform mm-hmm. and raise a little bit of extra money. Anybody out there right now who can remember this, aging.ny.gov, our main page on the top left, you can't miss it, has a brochure of our four free resources. Get Set Up, Virtual Senior Center, and then two for anybody who's caring for somebody else. One is called the New York Caregiver Portal, powered by Tralta. The other is the Caregiver Intensity Index. Those are free for all New Yorkers.
And we have a link to your page on the show page for today at WAMC.org, which, by the way, not for nothing, the lockbox is open. Our fund drive starts in June, and if you can kick a couple bucks in the lockbox now, that fund drive will be shorter. WAMC.org. And on today's Vox Pop page, we do have a link to the New York State Office for the Aging. Let's go to Abigail in Kingston. Abigail, you're on.
Oh, I want to just thank you so very much for this show. And I just want to blow my horn for a second.
Whoa.
In 1986, I raised $14,000 for hospice before it became part of the whole medical protocol.
That's great.
And thank you very much. And and I don't know if anyone remembers the Bionic Woman.
Sure,
I totally do.
Lindsay Wagner.
And then you had Steve Austin.
Right.
Okay, good. Because I kind of feel like one.
Oh, really?
with all kinds of wonderful replacements, so to speak. Eyes, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, thank you.
Okay.
That's all.
Abigail, how high can you jump now with the bionics? What do you do? No?
Well, I belong to a group, a circle, a bunch of people who are altakakas like me.
Ah.
An altakaka, you know what it is? It's in Yiddish. It means an old bag.
Oh, nice.
Or an old whatever, fart. Excuse me, I'm not cursing.
Fine.
But anyway, but I let other people on. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Abigail, thanks for calling, friend.
Let's have a lovely laugh.
Abigail is great. Let's go to Liz in Albany. Liz, you're on.
For someone who is not on Medicaid but has Medicare, when you need some kind of help, let's say you come out of the hospital and you need help, I don't know if there's anything that isn't just private that costs a fortune. Is there anything out there?
Yes, there is.
Plus, the other thing is Genworth Financial or any of the long-term care, their prices just keep going up and up and up. Does anybody monitor them?
Yes. So let's take the last one first. Long-term care insurance really started here in New York in 1992. And what you've been seeing and accurately reflecting is the actuarials got it wrong. And that's why the prices are going through the roof. Long-term care insurance is definitely a tool for some people, but it's out of reach for most people. So yes, there is. Normally, there's basically three different things. Well, there's four. Number one, there's the private pay, which you had talked about, and that could be for personal care, you know, in the home, that type of thing. The second level is the services that we provide in all 59 county offices for the aging. So we provide the same type of in-home long-term care services that Medicaid provides, but it's not Medicaid. And for the overwhelming majority of the individuals, they're not paying for it. We are. The third is what you had mentioned, at least what I see on the screen, is that Medicare only provides short-term. That is true after hospitalization. And then the last is Medicaid, and that's become the big financer. And so I think, you know, if you've been listening to the whole show, what I've been mostly proud that the governor has really recognized and put money into our budget is for the personal care services that you're talking about that are non-Medicaid, but they're for individuals that have the same need. And that's the type of program that I think Ray was mentioning earlier that really needs to continue to grow. We have over 5 million people over the age of 60 in New York. There's only 100,000 licensed nursing home beds. So what that means, just practically, is nursing homes are not the solution to long-term care. They're an important part of the continuum, but it's how do we grow the things that our network does throughout New York State so that we can, again, intervene earlier and keep people where they want to be, which is in their homes.
Liz, thanks a lot for the call. Let's go to Hopog out down there on the island. Paul, you're on.
Hi, guys.
Hey.
Hi,
everybody,
Paul.
Good today?
Pretty good. How are you?
Doing great, Paul.
Fair to Midland. I've got a question with regards to the center and the Veterans Administration. Do you guys work hand in hand in any way with the VA?
So I don't know who the center is, but in terms of the VA, so we don't work. I'm assuming you're talking about the VA hospital in Stony Brook. Or just the VA in general.
All. I mean,
Paul gets
all
around. He's all over the state.
The only reason I asked Paul is I used to work for the assemblyman who that was his district. So I've been to the Stony Brook Hospital many, many times. Couple of things. So we work very closely with the state and local division of Veterans Services, not as much the VA, the federal VA hospitals. One of the things that we're working on now with DVS, that's Division of Veterans Services, is providing transportation through our very unique model. And we're waiting for the budget to pass so that we can launch this to get veterans to their appointments. What we've seen, and well, I was shown this from DVS, is that veterans that can't get to their appointments at the VA hospital have a much higher suicide rate. So we have partnered with DVS to be able to, whether you're in, you know, Franklin County and need to get to Albany or Syracuse, or you're, you know, on the Pennsylvania border and you need to get to a VA hospital, that we can provide those transportation options. The other thing is that we actually serve 33,000 veterans on our caseloads currently. So they're getting things like home-delivered meals and transportation and personal care, et cetera. So there's a little bit of a disconnect between us and the Federal Veterans Administration, but we're very tight with the state Department of Veterans Services.
Why is there a disconnect?
Because one's federal and one's state.
Okay.
And the Veterans Hospital is clinical, right?
Right.
And the Veterans Homes are long-term care, and those are not under our auspices. We work with community-based residents.
Paul, you want to follow up there, buddy?
No, I am so appreciative for everything you're doing.
Great, thanks. And spread the word on our free stuff.
Appreciate the call. Okay, so we have about a minute here. With Greg Olson, Acting Director of the New York State Office for the Aging. You got plenty of free resources. This is your minute. This is your shining moment to tell us about them all, and then we'll be done.
Yeah, we have, like I said, over 30 public-private partnerships with tech companies. I just mentioned the four that are free. One's called Get Set Up. One's called the Virtual Senior Center, which is exactly what it sounds like, and two of them for caregiving. Go to aging.ny.gov. And right on the splash page, you can't miss it. You can access those for free. But we have lots of other partnerships as well. And if anybody, we have a general mailbox on our site. All of those emails come to me. But we have tons of other projects, whether it be working with people with Alzheimer's disease and their caregivers, building strength to prevent falls, you know, the scams and the fraud technologies. We have a lot of those things that we've been literally, I don't want to say testing because that kind of downplays it. We have been working with these companies, serving more than 2 million more people with these partnerships going back now 3.5 years. So, you know, if they're on my list, then your audience can be assured that they're trusted.
You said you've been in this game 30, 35 years. Do you lose the fire at any point?
Never.
All right, listen, man, here's an email you want to hear. Paul in Rhinebeck writes in, your guest should be on the program more frequently. It serves a great service for seniors and their families, but would be even better if done more frequently.
I couldn't agree more.
All right, so I think I might have one or two dates in the fall. I'll have my people call. Well, I don't have any people, but I'll call you.
You let me know, and you know I'll be here. I always appreciate you, Ray.
10-4, man. Support comes from Wild Center, Tupper Lake, New York, featuring up-close and personal animal encounters with Adirondack Wildlife. Wildcenter.org for details. and WAMC On the Road, WAMC's new programming initiative bringing public radio in person throughout the WAMC listening area and face-to-face with listeners in their own communities. WAMC.org for more information. Yeah, if you want to see my old carcass being dragged out, I do a couple of these things too. And the look on people's faces when they finally see me, it's priceless. Thanks again to Greg Olson of the New York State Office for the Aging. Thanks to our engineer, Mike Bowen. Thanks to Andrea Leong for screening the calls. I'm Ray Graff. Tomorrow, it's Astronomy with Dr. Valerie Rapson and Bob Berman. See you, too.